Support for today's show has come from an innovative shampoo. I almost could read that. I want to...
David. Football. Football David.
The Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available on Apple Podcasts and at NFL.com/DDFP. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
Hi and hello, football fans. It's your old pal Dave, Dave Dameshek. What's going down? I hope all's well wherever you are. Welcome to the Dave Dameshek Football Program. We are here in Studio 66 once again. Our second show since returning from both of the Twin Cities, both of which we spent some swell time in over the preceding week. As we speak at the time of this recording, I believe the Eagles are wrapping up their
parade.
Victorious parade
celebration
down Broad Street. Mazel tov to all the Eagles fans out there. Nay, congratulations to America, because as I decreed, they are America's team 2017, and we will reevaluate that come the 2018 season. In the meantime, we have much to get to here. Let's go around the wheel. Look who's joining us, two of our very favorites. First of all, the guy who joined me on our first DDFP of the week as we recounted our personal anecdotes and beyond, kind of picked through the game and some of the aftermath in Patriots Nation especially. That's really the story, not so much the victorious Eagles. Anywho, here he is from all the way from London, England. He's our resident Miami Dolphins fan. It's Handsome Hank.
He's handsome.
Hello, handsome. How are you?
Very well, thank you, Dave.
Are you?
As the three of us are at least close to around the
what
same age.
What the hell?
No, I have to do this because I'll forget. You know, okay. I think of these things in the moment. Whenever you hear Handsome Hank's theme song, do you immediately think of the Super Nintendo game GoldenEye?
No.
That's what I go to. I go to my time playing GoldenEye on the
that
SNES.
Game.
It was the greatest game.
I spent more time at university doing that than I did in classes.
I guess that's of a certain age. To me, I guess that is the broader question, is what comes into your mind when you hear James Bond music? For me, Roger Moore.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's what I was going to say.
Oh, you agree?
Roger Moore down the barrel of a gun.
Really? Yeah. Moore for you too, handsome. I agree that Moore is he's not the greatest Bond.
He's not the greatest Bond.
He's our Bond.
He's our Bond.
He's our Bond.
Right.
All right, listen, we have pro football to discuss,
yeah,
but real quick here, let's go through it then. So who's number one? Connery, we're all
best
agreeing.
Bond is Connery.
Connery's the best Bond.
Actually, no, I disagree.
Uh-oh.
I know what he's about.
Lazenby?
Because you know it's right. You just won't say it.
I just won't say it. Is that how you say it?
It's Daniel Craig.
I think with our mature eyes, not referring back nostalgically to our childhood eyeballs, but in the here and now, I think money is close. He's pushing it a little bit too much, which is ruining his point. Connery's still the coolest. Still the best, but Daniel Craig has vaulted Roger Moore in my book.
The thing with Connery, yes, and Roger Moore is that...
But he's two, though. Daniel Craig is two.
It was a level of campiness that you appreciated as Bond, but I think now what the Bond franchise has become and how damn good the movies are, you kind of realize, oh, wow, these could really have been some great action flicks. And Connery was certainly a capable actor of navigating that without the camp and kind of the half hour of sort of
grab-ass
that went into it. Yeah, exactly.
Right. Roger Moore was fun, but he also took it downhill, and Craig has it bottomed out with Timothy Dalton. And then Pierce Brosnan kind of leveled it off. And
no,
Craig took it back uphill. Yeah. No,
the Hotel of Ice is ridiculous.
The Hotel of Ice.
He rides
the invisible car.
He visits a hotel made entirely of ice. Which, I mean, how you would be able to stay in a hotel and sleep comfortably when it is entirely made of ice is ludicrous. But as you say, that takes a back seat to riding in the back seat of an invisible car.
Yes.
Invisible car.
That was ridiculous.
Timothy Dalton's the worst.
Dalton's
George
the
Lazenby on Her Majesty's
George
Secret
Lazenby
Service.
George Lazenby is not named George Lazenby.
What's his name?
Lazenby, Dave.
Whatever.
It's fine for you to make fun of how I say things, but no.
That
whatever.
That brings me to...
What have I done?
That brings us to issue number one.
You came up with an innovative way of saying Lazenby.
That brings us to issue number one of the day. Matt Money Smith, how do you say the word I-N-N-O-T-A-T-I-V-E?
Innovative?
Innovative.
Oh, V.
Did I not say V?
You just spelled it wrong, but that's fine.
I thought it was a trick question. Innovative.
Innovative.
Yeah.
Innovative. Did you hear how Handsome says it?
Not only did I hear, but I fell down the Twitter rabbit hole following the Dave Damashek football program, and in fact did seek out one of the many dictionary sites that I like to visit from time to time to get the British pronunciation, which is
innovative.
How is it possible?
Isn't
that crazy that I've never heard that before? But you know what, Handsome, as opposed to many of your previous lies about what happens in your homeland?
Experiences.
All right, just to review. You have claimed in the past that no one likes pretzels.
No one likes pretzels.
That's not true. That has been debunked by many people who have responded.
That was no one likes pretzels in the UK?
Yes.
The UK.
Yes. No one likes pretzels.
Pretzels are not native to the UK. They may have found.
What does that have anything to do with anything?
It's like,
the gray squirrel.
We don't like
the
meat pie.
It arrived
on
the boat.
We don't like meat pies here in America. We just don't.
But you can get them.
No one
likes meat pies. What country have you been? I'll eat a meat pie any day of the week.
You'll eat anything.
You're an exception.
True, I will. I like a nice shepherd's pie.
Mm-hmm. We had a shepherd's
pie. I watched the two of you. You should have shared a shepherd's pie based on how each of you were feeling halfway through your shepherd's pie. It would have worked out a lot better for you.
We had a Minneapolis shepherd's pie, which, by the way, it was a shepherd's pie. Shepherd's pie officially should include lamb. Ours included beef.
To wrap up our culinary tour, Matt Money Smith is really now an adopted member of our culinary tour around America, because it seems like he's getting off the radio show, he'll be like, hey, and well, you know, you and
everyone else has already gone out, left me
bending an elbow with a drink in hand, and Money shows up there.
And we're like, I guess we should.
We're pretty mild, to be fair. You know, everybody else is out tripping the light fantastic. We arrive back at the hotel as our fancier friends, our faster living friends, are getting into a car to go out for the evening. Where are you guys headed? You making a pit stop back at the hotel? Nope. Pit stop for the next 11 hours, if that's what you're talking about. I'm going to bed. See you soon. The best meal I had, with no disrespect to the other places we ate, I had a breakfast stromboli at the Minneapolis airport.
At the airport.
Out of town. It was the best meal I had of the week. It was
the
delicious.
Place was called Sbarro. Have you ever heard of it?
You make your jokes. You know what? You won't be laughing because your mouth will be full of delicious breakfast stromboli. If you go to the Minneapolis airport on your travels, Matt Money Smith, as the Chargers are up there next season, I encourage you, Nate Demand, you go and have one of these. Tell them Dave sent you.
What is INE? So it's just it's like a breakfast burrito, but with a pizza crust. Is that essentially what it is?
Basically. Oh. Yeah, delicious.
But does it have pizza sauce?
I can't imagine it.
Of salsa?
It didn't have sauce in it. No, it was a breakfast. It had sausage. It had egg. It had cheese. It was delicious. It was very nice. Well, yeah, you know. Anywho. All right, listen. What?
Stromboli di colazione è molto delizioso.
Oh, look like who's fancy. Let's say hello to him properly. He's one half of the greatest radio show in all the land. AM 570 is the purveyor of it. It's Petros and Money. You can track it down on iHeartRadio. He also hosts a whole bunch of other jazz, but that's in the rear view mirror for the most part, because the season is over. However, Game Theory and Money, I do believe, continues, right?
Yeah.
Free money?
I guess. I don't know. I mean, Cynthia does a lot of models for college players with the draft coming up and the combine, so I would assume we'll dig into those.
Oh yeah, we got college. We have it's that time of the year to start digging into that.
Yeah, we'll keep it rolling.
He's the voice of the Chargers, as I just said. Here he is. It's Matt Money Smith.
Skinny legs, a golden voice, play-by-play.
Yeah, we're letting it go, letting our hair down.
Matt Money Smith. A Chicago guy, and have you heard? He's the Chargers play-by-play guy. Matt Money, skateboarding as a kid. Matt Money, he's on with damn shit. Matt Money, it's Matt Money Smith.
There we go. That's the one-man house band, Dick Banks, is always makes wonderful music for us. And at Money's request, he punked it up a little bit.
Appreciate that. Double
That's
time, baby.
My favorite one.
Yeah,
I like that one quite a bit, too. That made me just think as we were listening to that, we're bobbing our heads here in Studio 66.
A bit.
That, you know, everybody does. I've called for at NFL Media many times over without response to from the bosses. As usual, I have asked for a decathlon and now a regular guy decathlon, you know, and with the Winter Olympics here and the combine coming up here and so on.
Combine.
Well, it's a combine. By the way, I brought this up with your pal, Matt Money Smith, Adam Carolla. Of course, I continue to participate on a daily basis with Good Sports on the Adam Carolla Show. Make sure you track that down on iTunes as well. We kibitzed about this very issue, combine versus combine.
Combine.
I explained to him, a combine is a piece of farming
equipment. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. A combine is a noun which describes a collective of people getting together for a single purpose. Which one sounds closer to what happens in Indianapolis?
It's a farming community, so I'm going to go farm equipment.
No. If you expect me to – and by the way, a combine is the equipment that separates the wheat from the chaff.
Yes.
Now, you can make a case. That's a clever entendre. Do you expect me to believe that whoever came up with that name was thinking that was in that headspace?
No.
I don't. No.
It was a time when the wheat from the chaff was very popular to be separated. You're talking
combine.
About the 60s. I'm going to go combine.
Now, so I want to do a regular guy decathlon. I want to see who can throw a football the farthest, who can make the most free throws out of 15. I want to see who can, you know, run the fastest 50
yard
dash.
That's not what I thought you were talking about. I thought regular guy decathlon is who can navigate a packed city street in rush hour, who can work their way into
Money.
A reservation in which a restaurant is booked, who gets from point A to point B in heavy traffic.
Right.
Yep.
That's what I'm talking about.
All right.
That's the decathlon I want to participate in.
I'm not the line which will go the quickest.
Right. Now, find the right line
find
at
right
a fast food joint right there at breakfast
the
time.
Airport.
See? Let's
May I
let's
tell
start
you something?
What?
Yes.
May I tell you something,
Please.
Money?
Yes.
This is why I like you. Because that's what I was just about to say.
Ah.
I want to do, by the way, I want to do the other decathlon. I also would like to do around March Madness or maybe the NBA playoffs. I would love if we, as an NFL media gang, could do a two-on-two basketball tournament. Wouldn't that be fun? I think player...
Too athletic for me.
Player, no.
I'm going to go stand in the line.
Our resident players, ex-players, draft not one non ex-NFL player, and you go two-on-two. So, for instance, Willie McGinnis. Yeah. Like, I would assume Willie McGinnis, if he had the first pick, would take Dave Dameshek, you know, something like that. Because he's tall, and he needs, you know, someone who's
needs what?
Who's lethal.
He's tall and muscular.
What does he mean?
Inside out, inside out. Pound it down to Willie. Willie, I'm free. Bomb, bang, three. Dameshek and McGinnis, up three. Like that.
We've now transported back to Dave's fourth grade.
I thought.
Listen, you get the rebounds. I'm going to be outside and bang.
Well, I'm not
three.
I'm not mixing in the paint. That's not where I go. I'm pretty. You know, I'm not messing with that. Anyhow, yes, Money. I agree with this idea. And in fact, when we were just bobbing our heads in here to your music, that's exactly what I said. Wonder who's the best dancer. Wonder who we're just with. It's not regular guy exactly. Event,
yeah.
But
in the whole of the NFL meeting.
No, or between the three
room.
Of us.
Just between the three of us.
I will say this.
What do you think? What do you think, MVP? You got eyeballs. You're an observer of the human condition.
It's definitely you.
Thank you.
Emma, you know who finds your bonus checks.
Here's the
she
key,
knows
though.
That I, who's Here's, the most vain in here, and she knows that that was
that's what,
the only
that's
answer.
That's what's going to get you into trouble.
What?
I'll tell you why. That's what gets you into trouble because you're so vain.
That's right. That's why I hate dancing.
Yeah, exactly. Whereas I don't give a damn. I will get on at a wedding. I don't need six drinks. I'm a half drink in. That wedding band starts playing. And guess what? My
you're
wife is embarrassed because here I – let's go. I am on the floor. My kids, for the first time, saw their old man get after it at a wedding back in Chicago with all the fine folks, and they were terrified. They were horrified. But guess
that's what your bit
I don't
is.
Care.
Your but that's your motivation.
But
is embarrassing the kids.
But you know what? That's- I really am just kind of moving to the meal. I'm like, yeah, I'm having a good time. Let's go.
See,
I'm not the guy that sits in a chair and talks with everybody else. I want to get out there and move.
That's me. See,
yeah,
that's like Willie working the paint, working the low post. Dameshek out free and clear, ready to play hero. I am the one kibitzing at the table. I'm not dancing. Right. And people always invariably at these weddings will come up to you and say, you know, why aren't you dancing? Because I can't stand it. I don't like making an ass of myself. And then people say, yeah, but look around. Everybody's doing
it.
Everybody looks ridiculous.
No one's looking at you. That's a secret.
No, but my response, hey, look at everybody out there. Everybody out there looks ridiculous. And my response to that is precisely.
But see,
why do I have to look like a jerk because the rest of you do?
Let's rewind. Emma, now knowing what you know, if you were to be out there, which one of these three would you be most?
Let her know that you're not gonna you're not gonna fire her or anything.
So now go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, please.
Time to reclassify.
She's scared of you.
Oh, now it's definitely money.
See?
No, you know what? The correct answer is option C. It's the handsome man. You think the continental? You think this euro isn't used to techno? He didn't spend his
in Ibiza for 6 weeks at a time.
But that doesn't necessarily mean that you can dance.
Henry, what time will you be home from this rave? Mom, don't wait up. That's all I'll say. When are we getting Handsome's mom in here before she flies off from Southern California? It's a must. It's not a request.
Why is she not here today?
It's a demand.
I mean, Emma didn't book her. I hate to throw anyone under the bus.
People. I didn't hear anything.
Listen.
Reached out to her people.
Let me tell you something. It's fun to make cute jokes, but then there's a time to get serious. And talking to Handsome's mom once and for all is a must. We must do this.
Yes.
Before she departs.
Okay. I will see if I can arrange it.
Even if it's on the telly.
No.
The telly is the TV.
The telephone is just the phone.
Tell before we move on real quick.
The mobile.
One more thing before we move on. On the mobile. Henry! You've got moves like Jagger, my sweet boy.
Don't you love the visual of Hank in like no shirt, short overalls, glow sticks, head just in a base bin. Like his head is just in the base bin in the front of a rave, just freaking out when he hears the right break at the right time, and that's why he showed up to this rave.
I am your fire starter. So, yes, one more thing. Emma VP.
Do that again. The I'm your fire.
I am your fire starter. I'm not going to lie to you. When that came out, I kind of liked it.
It's fantastic.
How could you not?
I don't know. Hey, the Emma VP and your best Handsome Hank, what did Handsome demand of you just before we started the show?
Oh, he wanted a bottle of water.
How did he say it?
He said, can I have a bottle of water?
No, that's not what he said.
I said, Emma, please, can I have a bottle of water?
Emma, I would I need you to fetch me a bottle of water. What kind of prima donna?
I said, Emma, please, could you bring me a bottle of water?
What do you think your position is versus Emma VP's that you're...
Take off your headset, walk out the door and grab
I had just complimented her. And I wanted to pay off that compliment.
I don't understand why. What one would have to do with the other?
Yeah.
Quid pro quo.
I'll not let Emma VP's head get too big on my watch. Fetch me a water, dear.
This is patronizing, condescending.
I can't believe Emma's not standing up.
There's a certain way to do this. Like, watch. Eddie, coffee, now.
Well, that's Eddie. I would say that to Eddie, of course.
That's how you do it.
Hey, real quick, let's check in with Spaghetti here about this. Spaghetti, where are you emotionally on this? Because I heard from a lot of Giants fans over the run-up to the big game. And like I said, there were, including Michael Irvin, and in fact, I'd like to get a clip of that to verify, because while it's not a conversation that may be compelling to 28-ish fan bases out there, I think that the Lombardi chase, the Lombardi counting is deeply important to, and call it provincial or dumb or whatever, but people do care about it. If you're a 49ers fan, Cowboys fan, Steelers fan, Patriots fan, probably a Giants fan, and to my point, and Packers fan probably too, you care about how many Lombardis you have, and that is why it pleases me that the Steelers remain alone atop the mountain with six. I saw a lot of Giants fans, and it struck me as weird. Where do you sit now and before the game and all that?
When Brady had – they got the ball back to Pats, like 2:20 left with like a timeout and a two-minute warning, that was the first time in my life I was like, all right, I could root for Tom Brady right now because he's going to go on the field and score, and then obviously they strip-sacked him. So being honest, I liked that the Giants are the only team to beat the Patriots. But then when the game ended, the whole, like, the full story, and I think, like you always say, the Eagles have a lot of good guys. I was kind of like, you know what, they were a fun story. They were a good team. I'm okay with it. Somehow I'm friends with a ton of people from the Philadelphia, South Jersey area.
Somehow.
I have
a win some way.
I've accumulated a lot of South Jersey Philly fans, friends. So,
While my neighborhood says I shouldn't have, I have opened my arms to all of them, and now they are my dearest friends.
My heart is big.
I was with them, and I saw them celebrate, and there was a lot of tears of joy from them, and I thought it was all right. So I'm okay with the Eagles winning now.
I guess I get that, but I don't know. How's that hit you, Money?
It is one of my favorite things to say, because it is something I realized. You know, once I was freed from my fandom, having grown up in a sporting household on the south side of Chicago, and I no longer cared about the Cubs or the Bears or the Bulls for whatever
reason.
I know, it just left me. I said, it's great when you watch a game that you don't care about and your emotions tell you. Like, I don't care about that. But in the last 2 minutes, all of a sudden, you find yourself pulling for one side.
Yeah, that's all right.
And it's a cool thing, because it really doesn't hit you until, like Eddie said, about the two-minute mark when a game's in the balance. You're like, oh, wow, holy crap, I'm really rooting for Tom Brady. This is weird. And it's kind of a cool thing.
I guess that's true. And in the same way, Handsome, the Dolphins have this weird thing of having Brady's number to some degree, at least. I mean, the numbers don't exactly support that. But they do knock him off a little more frequently than the other teams in the division do.
They'll win a meaningless game.
The other side of what Money's describing is, people have always said to me, as a Pitt basketball fan since I was lucid as a sports fan, and then going to Indiana University for 4 years and living there, who do I root for if they ever play in the tournament? Finally, they did. Maybe 10 years ago, neither one really had a shot at the national title. But although Pitt was a little bit better. But anyway, I used to always say, who are you going to root for if those two ever meet? They almost met in the Final Eight with a Final Four bid on the line the year that the Hoosiers did go to the final game against Maryland. I know, Money, you remember that.
The Mike Davis team?
Yeah, with Mike Davis. Yeah. People always said, well, what's going to happen if they – I can't tell you that. I don't know. It's not a decision with my head. It's a decision that will be made with my heart. And which way you vibe and which way you vibe to that. It is a fascinating way to do it. Handsome, where did you find yourself rooting?
I was rooting. I think, well, you and I were together. I was conflicted. There were moments where I wanted the Patriots to come back so the game would be closer. Then I kind of wanted Brady to go score.
Yeah, you did say very early in the game, oh, I hope the Patriots score here so we have a contest. I'm like, what do you think? The Patriots aren't going to rally and make this a game at some point?
There was a point where it looked like they might not.
But this game had a specific moment. When that ball is in the air and it is headed toward the goal line.
Right.
Were you rooting for it to fall incomplete or for Gronk to catch it?
Oh,
the inside of you telling you?
Oh, for me, it's easy. I mean, I obviously, as I said, I wanted the Eagles
incomplete.
To win because I'm a Steelers fan. That's the,
Hank?
You know.
At that moment, I wanted the Eagles to bat it down or whatever. Yeah.
I think most of us
they
did,
nearly
right?
Made a mistake.
I think most of us nearly made a mistake there,
by the way.
Yes, they did.
They did not.
Was it Jalen Mills who tried to?
Mills tried to.
Their instinct. Yeah. That is such a tough thing. I don't know if I were a defensive coach, which I don't want to tell
probably
too much.
Not.
I am talking
to the Colts.
I'm not going to say anything more. I may or may not be an NFL defensive backs coach. I don't know. Anyhow, enough about that. Maybe we should cut that out of the show. I don't.
No,
just to be safe.
We can leave it. It's a nice little nugget for people to chew on, huh?
Yeah.
I'm not saying that that's what I'm doing. I just want to make it clear. I am not saying that I am going to be a defensive backs coach. Do you hear me? Is that clear? Can I say it any more clearly than
Nor
I just
are we
said?
Interpreting
no, we wouldn't.
That statement
that might
as
happen, but
you're
I guess
going
it,
to be
it,
a defensive backs coach.
That's why
we're all
if you get up and walk out of
here.
This room, if there's one takeaway, it's that Dave clearly said he did not state
right.
that he is going to be.
Right.
All right.
Well, I'll leave this all in.
Okay. I feel like it is important to clarify. Yes, I think it was Jalen Mills. But, yeah, what do you tell your team? Because if you try to knock it down, you're just as likely, because guys are bumping Indian stuff, when you try to hit it to the ground, you might just pop it up into the air. But if you try to catch it as – again, I keep putting it on Jalen Mills, so I hope it was him. But, yes – he pops it trying to catch it. He almost pops it to Amendola.
And Amendola was coming through
yes.
doing the thing that, you know, someone's coming up, clearing up to see if the ball bounces out.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was excuse me, very exciting. The whole game. Like I say, money, what is your – I asked Handsome this earlier in the week. 15 or 20 years from now, just as we say Super Bowl 25, which one was that? The Scott Norwood game. You know, Super Bowl 30, the Neil O'Donnell two-interception game. Or Larry Brown.
The Larry Brown game. The Larry Brown gets $30 million from the Raiders.
Right.
From the Raiders.
What will be 15, 20 years from now? Wait, which was Super Bowl 52? What will you say?
I will say the Nick Foles game.
The Foles game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess that
that's
makes
the
sense.
Story.
Well, unless he goes on and becomes a star, then that will be.
What if? Yeah. What if?
I think it's the game. I think it's the game that Brady dropped a pass and Nick Foles caught a touchdown pass. That is the weird thing that rises above all the other.
Could have been a different. Yeah. Could have been the tipping point in the game. If Brady catches that, they go down to take the lead earlier than they ultimately did. Yeah. I think that's the overriding story, right? Nick Foles, backup quarterback, miserable in St. Louis, is released and saves the Philadelphia Eagles season.
I'd like to go MVP through. Goes down. I mean, no one cares what I think about it, but I think it seems to me, outside of the throw to Clement, the second best throw would be a great debate. The second best throw by Foles in Super Bowl 52 is an interesting thing to me, at least. He made a few that just were unbelievable balls. I mean, just crazy throws he made throughout the game. I could go through each one in my head, but I can't cite the exact moment in the game, so that would be awfully boring for you guys to listen to and for our beloved audience.
I think everyone's
it's not really
still,
about them, though.
Still
or us.
On.
It's about you. So if you want to do it, go ahead.
You're right. Let me tell you.
Oh, boy.
No. All right. So what do we think about Josh McDaniels now staying with the New England Patriots? I start with you, Matt Money Smith. By the way, congratulations on wearing your golf shirt. You've really started the offseason in style.
You know why I'm wearing this?
A pebble shirt.
This is how stupid golf? I am. Today is the start of my favorite non-major tournament of the year.
Oh, yeah. It is a great one. Have you ever played pebble?
I have.
Have you really?
I have,
wow.
Yes. It is everything that people describe it to be times 10. It is the finest course I have ever played on. I've never played on. Yet.
Was it Augusta sunny out, or was it
a perfect day?
Is that how you want it, or do you want it overcast?
Yes. I mean, Pebble's a real easy course. Relatively speaking, if there's no wind. I mean, if there's no wind, it's a course you can score on. But
what'd you shoot?
I believe I shot 81.
Whoa! Mark Brady's behind the glass. Yeah. He gives it a thumbs up.
Yeah.
He's a golfer. He knows.
He's a golfer.
But I stepped to the first tee. So I don't want to. Number one, Jim Herrick is a guy who's a regular.
Oh, this is okay.
Sorry. Jim Herrick is
this
a guy
is,
who is
no,
a.
This we can do. But Damashek on full. Right. Shame the devil.
Jim Herrick won the NCAA champion tournament with UCLA. He is a regular in the LA area. He used to be a head coach at Pepperdine. That's my alma mater. So he and I have that connection. And I happened to see him the night before I took the trip. And he said, "Money, man, I got to tell you, if you get up there, you got to make sure you get a caddy. His name is Stick. Now, Stick's about 6'4". He's kind of intimidating, but he knows Pebble Beach better than anyone else. He'll shave 5 strokes off your round. You got to coach. Don't give me that job. I want you to tell me you're going to ask for Stick." I'll ask for him, coach. I walk into the pro shop at Pebble Beach. They say, "We've got your caddy. He's waiting outside for you." And it was just straight out of a movie. They point, and sure enough, there's a guy out there who's 6'4". And I walk up to him, and I go, "Stick?" He goes, "Hey, what's up, man?" And I was like, "Yes, I got Stick as my caddy."
Wow.
I step into the first tee box. I'm going to foursome. Two guys tee off. As I'm about to step in, the way the first tee at Pebble Beach is set up is it's right outside the pro shop, and it's kind of nestled back into this loop of a road. Two tour buses pull up, and pouring out of these tour buses are Japanese tourists. And I now have a gallery. that is gotten together here for my tee shot, taking photos like, "Hey, here's our stop at Pebble Beach. This guy must be famous, some type of pro golfer." And I am freaking out. Like, I mean, I'm not kidding when I say I'm holding my driver. My hands are shaking. Stick says to me, "Hey, man, you can't hit driver here. I mean, you blow it right into those apartment buildings over there." I'm like, I just want to get out of here, man. I have never taken a more nervous swing in my life. And I happened to just barely poke this driver out there maybe 200 yards because I was so damn terrified.
That it is the.
It's weird.
I guess I mean, how much competitive sport have I really participated in? With a lot of people looking at me, or the focus on me. But when I tried out for the high school golf team, and there's nothing more nerve-wracking when it's all the other people that are trying out for the golf team, plus the coaches are standing there at the first tee, like, "Hey, why don't you guys go get a drink in there? Well, I'll just tee off. I'll let you know how everything turns out here."
So strange.
The worst. Money, it's impossible to hit it.
Money willing to dance in front of millions, but can't hit a tee shot.
Exactly. Freaked me strange. Out. Oh, and yeah. On the 18th hole, by the way, I made it to the par 5 and 2.
No way.
And missed my birdie putt, but there had been – or missed my eagle putt, made my birdie putt, and with the crowd that had gathered.
They followed you for like all 18 holes.
No, it's just everybody's up there drinking beers. It's like a lawn outside of a bar down there. And, like, everybody had cheered the birdie putt. And I was like,
nice.
Yeah, this is great.
Ah, that's fun. Hey, I want to know, so we got to continue to build out. We got to figure out what our events are going to be. Dancing? Is dancing one? That's a little far afield for our tournament of
We could do like
best
that,
in life.
That dancing game.
That game,
We
yeah.
could hop on that dancing game. I think that may fill the void.
I don't know. That's already getting weird. I think we need judges. And one. And two, I think we need to do – I don't know how exactly we're going to measure this.
No, I know how
we do
it. My
wheelhouse is who's the best order of food at a restaurant. Oh. I've never met my equal.
I know how to do the dancing thing.
All right.
We go to a club.
Okay.
We go out onto the dance floor by ourselves.
Okay.
And we see which one of us gets paired up first.
Right, great.
Which one of us has someone, a complete stranger, come onto the dance floor and kind of nestle up to what we're doing out there. That's how
Mess
you judge
up.
The. You know what I'm saying? That's how you do the dance contest.
I don't care. We got.
I'm okay with that.
What I'm okay with is we can go to Santa Monica Boulevard in West Hollywood, and we can do it right there.
That's
too.
Fine with me too.
We'll get faster action that
right.
way.
We'll hit up Rage.
We'll go to Rage and we'll see
done.
What happens. I don't mind. You think I'm afraid?
I crush that.
You think
destroy?
You think you?
Yes.
In your golf shirt and you're boogieing.
Yep.
You think that, and your birdie legs, you yep. think the fellas are coming to you more quickly than
you know
they're
why?
Coming to
I'll
the
tell
damage.
You exactly
check.
Why.
On.
One word, confidence.
Fact of the matter man. Is.
They'll
once
feel it.
I go back
feel
to,
my confidence.
I go back to where we were 15 minutes ago. We go to Rage and start boogieing. You know who they're going to.
Hank.
Name it in any other.
That's
club.
True.
That's why I'm just keeping quiet.
That's true.
On this one,
slam dunk for Hank on that one.
Yeah, so we got to figure out all these events. Let's plot them out here. Spaghetti and MVP, if you have any thoughts, let us know. We got to do remote control. Yes, I love the pedestrian who can
yep.
go from one place to the other without running.
Same with driving.
Driving somewhere.
No Waze. No GPS.
Waze.
You're the one who depends on Waze. You're the one who's going to struggle with that. You depend on Waze. It's like you're
there are
Zion.
Many things you can say to me that will insult me.
You're dead.
That is
you
the
love
lowest,
your ways.
That is the lowest. Go ahead. You ask your man, the Ace Man, when he had to get to the when he had to get to the Irvine Improv, how he got down
That's
there.
A very specific.
Hey, he was
example you're citing. That's where you drive every day.
No, I don't.
You know
Irvine South. I'm all the way up in North. I'm in Long Beach. I mean, Irvine, you got to go way south. I got him to navigate through some nasty rush hour traffic pre-ways. This is what we're doing, and he even told me, he said. I'm going to be honest. I didn't like the loop through the two. I think everything else was good, but I probably could have done without the loop up the two there. I said, to each his own.
Make sure you don't back your car into a parking space. Right.
See, he and I are so on the opposite ends of the spectrum there.
Well, you and me park our cars in the same garage or, in this case, in the same space. Or
I'm not in a hurry to go into it. To work.
No.
I'm in a hurry to
no,
get out.
Get out.
You back in.
That's why you back
Always
in.
Back
crazy.
In.
He and your boy Petro
yeah.
are crazy about that. Like, listen, I'm all for society's laws. I abide by society's laws, which brings me to this. The entire week was great, except for one event. And that was when we were I don't know who was with me actually. I'm minding my own business in the hotel restaurant in the evening time when people like me, in fact, me, I was ingesting food the restaurant, and I look over, and what do I see?
Oh, yeah.
I see a grown man.
Saw that photo.
45, 50-ish. Right shoe, right sock, off!
What? That's
his foot perched atop his left knee for the entire restaurant to see and presumably smell, but I wouldn't know because I had to move away from it, because what kind of outlaw to society decides these rules don't apply to me. I'm going to put my stink foot out. And here's the worst part.
These people find you.
Yeah.
They really do. I don't have the barefoot problem you have. It is remarkable.
I've never run into anything like that.
Emma VP sent me a picture from the airport with a guy with both of his stink feet out.
Right, that was at LAX.
What made it worse, in my opinion, with this guy with his right shoe and sock off was that his left shoe and sock were on, which indicates that there was something afoul with the right
foot.
He's like, I got to get this thing out. I got to get this thing out in the air here. I might have gout or something. I don't know what, but it's not my problem, or it shouldn't be. You ruined my dinner, sir.
You know, on the Game Theory and Money podcast, Cynthia shared that when she was in the bowels of US Bank Stadium.
Yeah.
There you go. She was with Willie McGinnis making her way out. Uh-huh. And Tom Brady happened to be walking by, fresh out of his presser.
And after the game.
After the game. Stopped, chatted with Willie. She's standing right there, and she said all she could focus on were his feet. Man had no shoes on.
What?
And he said anytime he does a presser indoors, or Willie said anytime Tom would have a presser indoors, he would always take his cleats off and
let
do them just
down.
His socks. Let the dogs breathe a little bit.
Why?
My guess is he probably likes a real tight cleat. Maybe tapes them up, just likes them to be real compact for better footing. So once the second you can let those things breathe, man, you want to let them breathe.
Whoa.
Maybe that's what happened
about that development.
Maybe that was the same with
your
guy.
Yeah, he had just left the vigorous game of squash or something and had to let the dog.
Highlight.
Only one, though. Only one. Yes, we have to talk. Well, that's great. We have to talk to Willie McGinnis now.
Yeah.
Get to the bottom of this one. Also, money. Before we get to McDaniels and how far have we gotten here, MOVP?
Oh, we're only 40 minutes
in. We are 36 minutes in.
30. Oh, so that's not so bad. Let me tell you real quick about something that I wanted to share with you. Have you ever wondered what it might be like to captain some of the greatest warships of WW2?
Yes.
I know you love your history.
Too.
Yes.
I'm sure you would love to know that. You need to check out World of Warships, the free-to-play historical online combat game from Wargaming. With World of Warships, you'll command a massive naval fleet featuring some of history's most iconic war vessels. Do you want to try to name a couple of those?
No.
WW2?
No.
You can name one.
Ulysses?
Ulysses?
What?
WW2. What'd you say?
I don't know. I just was throwing something out there. Carry on.
But that wasn't in WW2. All right.
Matter.
The USS Indianapolis, the USS Enterprise, the USS Arizona, and beyond.
Indianapolis met a horrible end, you know.
Yes, I did.
Terrible demise.
I just told you. It's one of the most famous. It's iconic. Download World of Warships today. Free. CommandWarships.com to begin your naval adventure. Matt Moneysmith and anyone else within the sound of my voice. Make sure you enter the code DAMESHEK18. DAMESHEK18. I assume that's because Peyton, my all-time favorite. When you download, you get a ton of bonus content courtesy of the DDFP, free premium ship, the famous cruiser Aurora, of in-game currency to jumpstart your epic WW2 naval experience. Again, download World of Warships today, CommandWarships.com, and begin your exciting adventure.
Maybe we should add World of Warships to our common man.
Perhaps
castle.
We should. Perhaps we should.
I'm going to just use that as
who can command the best ship.
I know you like knowledge.
I do.
I'm going to use that as just a quick jumping off point to remind the folks that today, February 8th, is the birth date of one William Tecumseh Sherman.
Ah, oh, you love your dead guy. That's one of the best daily
today
features the Petros and Money show.
And
dead
of
guy
note,
birthday, alive guy birthday.
Of note for Tecumseh Sherman is he was the only one that recognized that, hey, listen here, President Lincoln. And by the way, he gifted President Lincoln the city of Savannah on Christmas. He said, I'm gifting this to you after he burned the hell out of Atlanta.
Our first president.
He said,
I saw Jay Ajayi on the field.
Well, first of all, before the war started, he said, because he was the president of what became LSU, and he said to all the people in the South, you don't want this. You have no – you think the Northerners are these soft, machine-working folks that aren't going to fight like you can fight out there? They're going to kick your ass. It's going to be bloody. It's going to be ugly. You have no shot, number one. Then he went up north and said, you have to understand, these folks in the South, they may be dumb, and they may not have the advances you have, but they are mean sons of bitches, and they are going to kick your ass, and this is going to be a bloody-as-all-hell battle. Let's figure it out. Let's get a peaceful solution, because you people have not seen what I have seen in many of the wars that I have been part of. and
Ulysses S. Grant was like, I don't know who you are, but I'm just going to keep throwing bodies at this mess.
What he did, what Sherman said was, we got to wipe them out. We don't just win the battles, we wipe them out, which is why after he took Atlanta, he just got that 50-mile-wide army and just wiped it all out straight up to Columbia because they were the first state to secede. See you later. Just wiped it all out. And then after war said, hey, war sucks, man. Don't ever do it again. Out. You just took off.
Fascinating historical.
That was great.
One Matt Money Smith.
We should do that. Should be the
one. Want to do more history?
We should maybe do it with some Civil War music, and then I can tell the story of William Tecumseh Sherman said when he was called to duty to turn over his armory to the state of Louisiana, we'll do no such thing, and splitting apart this Union is damn treasonous. And he immediately went to see Abraham Lincoln in Washington, D.C.
Jeff Money Sessions.
I can also plug the Captain Andrew Luck Twitter handle because it is one of my absolute favorite things.
And Handsome Hank could give us some world history, perhaps, some European history, to deepen our knowledge about the human experience,
not just the American experience.
I was going to just go down the rabbit hole of
Did you want to do Josh McDaniels?
I think we did it.
Let me quickly read you the Captain Andrew Luck tweet about Josh McDaniels, the most recent one that was just sent out. Dearest mother, time heals all wounds, including a slap to the face from a bamboozler. I have confidence the unit shall find a proper general in time. Now I must return to my sidearm drills. Hopeful, Andrew. It really is just the best Twitter feed.
Fantastic.
Do you believe in the conspiracy theorist's assertion that this is some Bob Kraft scheme to dispatch Josh McDaniels to Indy only to break their hearts?
No.
I don't think this. Neither do I.
I can't believe it took you a second to even answer that.
But it's so crazy that he turned it down.
What a ludicrous thing would that be?
Because we can't make sense of what in the heck he's thinking. Why would he turn it down? It does not make any sense. Unless he's just that, you know, unless Bill Belichick just happens to have that sort of trance and power over him that he could somehow convince him that this was a better path for him. And he doesn't have the moral fiber or the backbone to stand up to that man. You know, like
it doesn't make a bit of sense. It makes this sense. And yes, Handsome called me on that rightly because I have been saying Belichick is done for a month now. He's not going to be the head coach of the Patriots. I stand by that. And Handsome then called me on. He said, "Well, Josh McDaniels leaving doesn't make sense." I said, "It does make sense. I would rather be the start fresh with Chris Ballard and." Presumably Andrew Luck, although I wonder if that's an issue in his health. But, you know, I'd rather start anew. There's some decent young pieces there. You know, it's a, you know, basically a race to pass and start off versus a 42-year-old QB. And, you know, the roster people want to knock me. The Patriots roster is not good, generally speaking. There are not very many rosters worse if you remove the quarterback position. That doesn't mean Josh McDaniels doesn't believe in Tom Brady and doesn't say for the next few years, hey, listen, if I believe in Brady and we can win a couple of titles in the next couple of years, I think he's still going to be the head coach.
In 2018.
I still think that. Why 2018. If he's not that, then I'm with you, Money. Why would you stay to be the OC? Why'd you stay there to be an OC?
I don't think Greg Schiano agrees to be a defensive coordinator for Josh McDaniels. As a head coach, I think it sets up exactly.
I think Belichick's fingerprints are all over this. Here, Josh, I got a guy who will be basically the assistant head coach for you, and Schiano, this is perfect. I feel good about how I'm leaving this. I don't want to leave you barren and hopeless in 2018. I say, oh, all right, listen, we'll see what happens.
I mean, look, I think it works either way. It either works if Belichick brings in his old buddy because he's going to hang out with Schiano and believes he can coordinate a heck of a defense. And he doesn't have to. And now again, he doesn't have to worry about the offense because McDaniels has it. He's had it forever. He's good. And there we go. Another year where I don't have to worry about that. Me and Schiano, we got this thing to figure out, like you said, because there is not a lot of talent, you know, on that roster. And I think they could probably feel like they got a lot of work to do. So,
I just think the strange thing about it is that he doesn't. If it's not the Patriots head coaching job, that's it. He's burnt enough. I mean, this time he specifically walked away after.
Well, he's definitely the head coach, whether it's this year or I don't know. I mean,
I mean, there are plenty of examples of people who think that it might be time to retire. But Bill Belichick without Bill Belichick doesn't seem like he'd be a happy man outside of coaching.
But there are situations Bill Belichick can still go to. You know, Baltimore is a you know, where's he going to go? Well, now all of a sudden Ozzie Newsome steps down. He could absolutely Belichick. I would not be floored if we heard before the combine that John Harbaugh was out, Belichick was taking the reins. He's the head coach. He's going to build that team.
But he's under contract. He can't just walk to the Ravens. He's under contract.
If he says,
Bob Kraft's not going to say, "Yeah, go to the Ravens. You're good. I'll let you out of this deal that I've been paying you $12 million a year. Go on, get out of here,
Mr. Kraft. I've delivered five Lombardis to you. You know, this is what I need. I'm leaving you in a great spot here with our trusted Josh McDaniels.
My point is, Josh McDaniels would be naive to believe that Bill Belichick, if you made him a promise that a year from now you're going to take
all right,
over,
I'm
or a month from now you're going to take over, that's actually
I make happen. Fun of all the conspiracy theorists, but this is my conspiracy theory, and I believe right. in it. let's get to it, Charlie.
I also think, by the way, the Jimmy Garoppolo contract, to some degree, I don't want to say vindicates, but at least gives you a little bit more clarity, you know, because they do share the same agent, Brady and Garoppolo. The fact that Garoppolo is now the highest paid player in the NFL, it looks as though, okay, we knew that this was probably going to happen, that there was no way, unless we franchised him and paid him $30 million a year or whatever it would be, $22, $23 million a year, this guy was not staying with us. So you had the – could we have got more? Sure, but we did his agent a favor, who's Tom.
That's
Richard,
exactly.
And sent him to San
that
Francisco.
Checks out. Willie McGinnis, a story about 3 weeks ago when we first broached this subject with him. Obviously, he knows what's going on. That's exactly what he said. This was a solid to
the agent.
Garoppolo, to the agent, with whom, like you say, there is business right. in the New England building as well. All right. Nick Foles, another quarterback, as we continue our digit bet, you know, our finger digits, we've decided that Handsome and Money are in deep peril.
That is not
we
what
we haven't.
Decided.
You might have decided.
It's not what we've
you
decided.
Might be in
You're
deep
the only
peril.
One in this room that believes that.
Two stump hands are not going to be able to even feed themselves by summertime because they've cost themselves so many.
Digitless Dave Damashek.
There you go.
Calling you.
That's good alliteration right there.
Here's one move that's not going to happen. And this does hurt my case that there will be 10 teams with new quarterbacks in 2018, new starting quarterbacks in 2018. Nick Foles ain't moving. Agree or disagree, Money?
Agree. He's not going anywhere.
Yeah, they can't.
He's
they can't.
Under
Handsome.
Contract. He will not be moving anywhere. Why? How could you possibly move?
Well, he's probably going to be the starter week one of 2018.
Yeah, right.
Right. That's the reason. Well, and the other point is, too, right, we don't know what Carson Wentz is going to be like health-wise, and they're going to want to have the insurance policy. Carson Wentz is going to do everything he can. I'm sure Doug Peterson on down wants Carson Wentz under center in week one, which, by the way, is the second time, I believe, in Super Bowl history that the Super Bowl winning quarterback will not be under center in week one, or yeah, will not be the anointed starter. The number one. Maybe there was an injury or whatever. Do you know who that is, Handsome? Do you know who that is, Spaghetti behind the glass? Can you name who that is?
Off the top of my head, no. That's interesting, though. I will think. If I think of something, I'll get back to you.
There was a team won the Super Bowl, and they willfully punted this guy in favor of somebody else. They punted him. He was not even on the team.
You mentioned it to me. It was the Trent Dilfer Elvis Gerback.
There you go. Yep.
Right.
Elvis Gerback, our guy, Coach Billick, made that move. And it was
the favorite of the mayor of Kansas City, Elvis Gerback.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Gerback, hey, he had
This is what's funny about our little bet, because you're trying to just – it is really unraveling for our guy.
It really is.
How do you figure it is?
Blake Bortles is going to be the starter in Jacksonville. Eli Manning's going to be the starter
Bortles,
in New York.
And it was the week that Manning would be benched.
Yes, Manning and Bortles are both staying. Like, it's really coming
such
apart
suckers.
For you.
Such suckers. You guys
coming
are so naive.
Apart.
Ten.
I counted him
a
the other day.
A third of the national
I covered. I counted, and I was like, man, if I'm really being generous, I'm giving him eight.
You guys are like the Dippy TV guys who announce because of what you just saw that is going to then be relevant in the coming week. Well, the Jacksonville Jaguars, I mean, they're obviously not good on defense. They gave up 42 points to the Steelers. That defense is overrated. That's the kind of analysis you're providing here. Eli's the starter for the Giants. It was announced.
You're making a lot of assumptions
on right now when you don't have – free agency hasn't even arrived yet. And by the way, All those QBs are about
to
get.
And not all free agents, Dave.
Let me just tell you something. Okay. There are about to be five or six quarterbacks drafted in the first round. What percentage of those guys?
They don't need to start.
They don't need to start. But when you draft a quarterback in the first round, generally speaking,
they're not going to start week one of 2018.
Four of those guys will. I bet you they don't. Josh Allen.
I'll take your other.
Josh Allen is the one guy that most definitely is not going to start week one.
Nope.
He is most definitely.
Nope. Sam Darnold.
Nope.
What can I tell you? I can't argue with you if you're going to be stonewall.
It depends where they go. Even with your theory, Eli Manning's not going anywhere. So even if the Giants draft Josh Rosen, he's not starting week one.
The
Giants are not going to draft Josh Rosen and stick him behind 10. I don't think that's going to happen.
Yes, they
do you
are.
Think that's going to happen.
They drafted Eli Manning and stuck him behind Kurt Warner.
Yeah, Gettleman's pretty. He's tied to Eli. Eli's going to start. Shermer said in his press conference, Eli's going to start. Rosen will learn.
That's exactly right. And why do you think they're going to draft if Eli is in the
Eli's starting.
Yeah, he's going to start.
Look at this.
Fine. That's right.
The man panicking now.
I'm panicking. Nothing. I'm outraged by you. You got no sense about you. Let me tell you something. If you keep Eli Manning, you then don't draft for the future. You draft for right now.
Huh? No. I think they're going to.
Yes, I think they're. No, I don't. I think they're going to take.
I think they're going to take Barkley.
I think they're going to take Barkley.
That's right.
I don't know.
Now you're coming around, money.
What do you mean I'm coming around? Eli Manning's going to be their starter. You're losing a finger.
You're losing a finger. You're
That's
down.
Right. So Darnold or Rosen will be somewhere for a QB needy team, and that guy will start for this new for a different team.
Try this on for size.
Sam Darnold to the Browns. That's a new starter.
Okay. I would agree with that.
All right.
What about the Browns end up being the team that signs Kirk Cousins?
The modest move they could make.
They draft.
If the Browns draft Kirk Cousins, they then trade down with a team like the Bills, who have back-to-back picks, and they can get another hole. They trade down. They get the. They still.
Listen,
have
I've sidetracked us. I'm sorry.
That's exactly right. And one Joe Thomas, noteworthy Cleveland Brown, and one half of the Tomahawk podcast, produced by our pal Black Tie.
Right.
I kibitzed with them. We won't play that for you today. I think we have to get to it. It was a good conversation with these two guys. Joe Thomas and I park our cars in the same garage. That's exactly what I said, and he agrees. Kirk Cousins.
You've got $80 million in salary.
Break the bank room. For Cousins. He has Josh Gordon and Corey Coleman to throw the ball to.
He throws Jarvis Landry in the mix as well.
And Jarvis Landry. That's right. I think that will be. I think they could take Barkley. I think it's running back rich draft. You could just take the best defensive players. You could take
Chubb. Put Chubb on the opposite side of Garrett.
Right. I think that's the play, and they're immediately relevant in the AFC. If you get to Kirk Cousins,
I agree.
The issue with that is I've been told by someone who knows that Kirk Cousins has no interest in going to Cleveland. That's what gets in the way of that. But Kirk Cousins is going somewhere. And by the way, so that's another spot. He's going to be the starter in Denver. Probably.
Well, we all assumed that was going to be the case.
By the way, just because they brought back Blake Bortles, the assumption. Oh, well, he's definitely going to be this. You don't know. You don't know that's 100% going to be. They're going to draft Lamar Jackson.
$19 million. It's a $19 million salary that he immediately gets because of the wrist surgery. So he's there, which means they're not signing someone else. Which means Blake Bortles is the starter.
That's nonsense.
He had a nice playoff run. He played well. He played well enough to win an AFC championship game.
Let me get Matt Flynn on the phone. Let me see what he has to say about this. Let me talk to Mike Glennon and see what he thinks.
Matt Flynn had one good game against Detroit. Blake Bortles just ran through it. Blake Bortles just humiliated the Pittsburgh Steelers.
That's not the point.
Humiliated them.
I don't like that.
Twice.
That goes too far, Mike.
I love it.
That goes too far. Obviously, things can change from February to
– You started this. You started
Fine.
This.
Good.
And we're finishing it.
I feel bad about your stump hands in
advance.
If
you think we're not holding you to losing fingers, you're wrong.
All right. Guess what? You're not going to be able to hold me to anything without any fingers on your hands.
You got one new quarterback.
You can't hold me, but you can beat me with your stump hand where your fingers used to be. Money and I had a great time with with the replacement for Alex Smith, Patrick Mahomes. We've decided the gamble. I encourage you to find
yes.
it online.
That was
we
good.
Decided which pastry we've always debated, as anybody who knows us knows. We always debate what pastry would hurt the most to get
we
hit
take
with.
The scone off the table.
Right.
Scone's off the table because
money
it would legitimately hurt you.
Pellet, yeah.
Yeah, it would legitimately hurt you.
So Patrick Mahomes was there, and we said, well, all right, let's figure out what pastry would hurt the most. A croissant.
Which is, I don't know
muffin,
why that was in the running.
A muffin.
It's light, and you can really light. Throw it. You can
and it's
really
got those sharp edges. It's like, it's you know, it's boomerang-like, you know?
See,
you could throw it around you and bonk you in the back of the head.
That's right.
See, a donut with sprinkles on.
That would like be interesting.
That would hurt because that you know some of those might come off and then it's like a
shot get in your eye,
in palate,
right? So. And then there was the scone, which we said, "All right, Patrick Mahomes, all right, I'll take it. Go ahead and throw it at me, Mahomes." And Money handed him this scone that weighed about like 4 pounds.
It was a big one.
I said,
"Uh-uh."
I mean, after then he hit me with the muffin. I said, "Let's first do the muffin, then we'll see." And the muffin had some weight to it, but nothing like the scone. In hindsight, that was a very wise decision.
Because the muffin hurt.
The muffin hurt bad in my belly. Find it on Twitter and Facebook and whatever. But it really legit hurt me. If he would have thrown the scone, it would have impaled itself into my ample belly, and I wouldn't have been able to go on. I would have been hospitalized.
Would have been disemboweled. It would have just been entrails pouring out.
That would have been great. It would have been great, legit.
Well, I would have filmed it, so it would have been perfect.
I would have to admit that if it killed me, if I got killed by a scone, I would have to laugh. I would have to concede. Like, this is a pretty funny death for me. This is a fitting
right.
death. Did you hear about Dave Damaschek?
You know what I would say?
Did you? What, he died?
He died?
Yeah. What happened to him? Got hit by a scone.
Got
makes
shot.
Sense. Makes
got
see, that wouldn't be my answer. What happened to him? I'd say he died doing what he loved.
Would Patrick Mahomes feel bad?
Listen, you fatherless children, I want you to know something.
Patrick Mahomes, if you can hear my voice now, I want you to raise my children as your own. They're on your hands now.
I want you to know your dad died doing what he loved, okay? I know it's going to be a horrible future for you, being fatherless and all, but at least know this.
Can we get the head of PR on the phone, MVP? I'd like to talk to Alex Reithmiller about how I would be honored on Total Access or otherwise.
You would not be honored.
You don't think I'd be on it?
No, they'd be pretty upset.
We're a little low on time today, but I will definitely look up his number.
What do you mean?
We can revisit this.
We got to one of the topics.
Right.
We had seven topics here, and we got to
this,
one.
This is a bet that I continue to lose. Every show, to pull back the curtain right before we start, I say, I don't think we have enough show. What are we going to do for a half an hour? I don't know if we're going to get to 30 minutes. And all the cynics always scoff and say, Dave, you're a buffoon. You lack self-awareness. Mm-hmm. In this case, they are right. I always assume we're not going to get to 30. How far have we gotten today? I was worried about that on our last show.
We're pushing 57 minutes.
All right. So I think we've accomplished more than enough.
Okay, let's shut it down.
All right. I want to get Money's pick, though. You're way too early. Super Bowl 53 prediction.
Oh, God.
He has to say the Chargers. You know he's legally bound.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Remember, I'm not fun for that.
Week.
How about Hank?
Rams-Bolts.
Niners-Bolts.
Now that, you know what? I was going to say Niners-Jags. That's my one for today. I know.
I do like the Niners as the worst of first team. Happens every year. That's
someone,
the obvious to me, worst
that,
of first team.
Of course, Steelers-Eagles would be good. And I just, I mean, anyway, I don't want. We're not going down.
Can you tell us what the Steelers' record's going to be this?
No.
Next season, yeah.
No. You don't appreciate my seer-like
abilities. I threw you a goddamn parade, Dave.
You don't understand how it works.
I still have confetti on right. parts of my person that I'd rather not have confetti.
Some of that confetti, I like, oh, you're going to drop green and silver confetti on me, are you,
why
after the
I
Super
have,
Bowl?
Right.
Here's some confetti for you. Bam. Like, where'd that come from, Dave? Don't worry about it.
Just real quick. I think some of these Eddie is writing. I think he's writing them knowing that they very well
Thank
could end up getting
this is the mystery. Ever since we started reading Eddie Spaghetti's tweets, there is a growing belief among for New York's own, our resident New York sports fan, there are some cynics out there. Handsome Hank leading this movement.
All of it's done.
He's writing them to be read.
I don't think about anyone. I don't care about followers. I don't care about any. I literally think of something and it goes right through my arms.
I believe that.
I don't care what anybody thinks besides me and Jeter.
I believe that, but I do think Adrian Brody's. I'm not even going to read it in your voice.
No, this to me was trying.
Adrian Brody is a pretty subpar Italian guy. I could do a better job.
No.
That I think he knows. Money will definitely read this one.
Look, Spaghetti stood up.
I am adamant. If you watch that show, the acting in that show is A+ across the board. It is superb.
What show? Entourage?
Peaky Blinders. And then Adrian Brody.
Isn't that the guy?
No.
Wait, who am I thinking
That's Adrian.
Adrian Brody is Adrian Brody. Giant Nose was in Help Us.
Oh, the guy won the Academy
Award.
Not a pianist.
Yeah, the pianist. Okay.
He plays an Italian mobster in the fourth season of Peaky Blinders, and it looks like he's an SNL like fake character. It's terrible.
You know what's going to be great then?
Getting Adrian Brody on the show.
No, well, we don't need who needs him. We got Eddie Spaghetti to do the sides of
the
Adrian
sides.
Brody from Peaky Blinders.
Well done.
I could do it better than him.
Well, we'll find out then, won't we?
If you watch the show, it's laughable, and it stinks because
– All right, Eddie. In the meantime, let's read this one. Some free advertising here. As a New Yorker who knows good deli sandwiches, Bay City's on Lincoln in Santa Monica is top-notch. The godmother.
God, love New Yorkers always are announcing like, whoa. I'm from New York. I think I'm the one who will decide what tastes good or not.
You don't know sandwiches. I'm a New Yorker. I know sandwiches.
I agree with that. I think certain areas you have to know certain types of.
I agree with me.
I know deli sandwiches. There's probably bad deli sandwiches in L.A. That place is very, very good.
You're junk. I saw you do your business about how there's no good delis in L.A. There are
good delis in L.A.
There are plenty of good delis.
No, here. I know. I still would side with
Nothing compares to Cats.
Yeah, Cats is deli.
But there's some good ones.
I agree. I totally agree.
L.A. is one of the greatest sandwich towns in all of America. It really is.
Yeah, it is great.
Even though we're hamstrung by the bad bread.
Yes,
the bread is not as good, but there's some really good. They're really good ones here.
I live by Canners. I frequent it quite a bit.
Are you excited about Russell Wilson spaghetti?
I am very excited. I'd like to make a trip to spring training to see him do batting practice between like Judge and Stan. I think it's fun. I think it's like a fun little spectacle.
I hope he demands three.
I know.
I'm not playing unless you give me three.
Be great.
I'm going to order a shirt that has three and then Wilson in the back.
Have they retired Peyton's number in Indy? Have they already done that?
Yes, I believe so. I think it was last year, right? I think they did last year.
I can't remember the guy's name. We had him in here when he was Mr. Irrelevant, the guy. What's his name?
Chad Kelly?
No, the QB.
It was like 2 years ago?
Three, four years ago. I insisted. I was like, you want to make a statement? Run out there in 18. It was the year after 18 had gotten moved on to Denver. Go on, demand 18. Like, yeah, what's wrong with this? There's nobody taking 18 right now. There's nobody on the roster. That's the move. All right, that's enough. More than enough, I think.
Enjoy your fingers.
Just a few days to go.
Oh, I'll enjoy them. Don't you, sweethearts, worry about me. Handsome Hank, I want you to consider what events we need to add to our regular guy tournament. And unlike other things, I demand that we do this. Emma VP, this is on you. 100%.
All right, we'll make it happen.
Hey, Dave, just about
who can get through the line most quick? We'll go to Target or whatever and see who can pick the right line.
Pick the right line.
I like that event. That's a good one.
Some kind of household repair.
Oh, yes.
Like what? Change a light bulb?
No, we'll make it easy. Sink a drywall anchor.
Oh, a little Mr. Show-off.
Well, I'm just saying. I think that's an easy one, right? You got to sink a drywall anchor.
I don't even know what that means.
I have no idea what that
really?
Means.
Really? You guys don't?
You may say something different.
Sink a drywall anchor.
You've never had to hang something? When you can't screw into a stud, you get those little plastic cones that you have to drill in, pound in the drywall anchor.
How do those work? I've always wondered about those. I have no idea how those work.
They expand. When you put the screw in, so they're like a cone, right? So you put the screw in here. When it hits the back end, that expands. And then little prongs come out where you can't pull it out because it's kind of like a door.
But then you have to drill a gigantic hole in the wall.
No, you drill a tiny hole. You pound it in.
Pound it in.
With a hammer.
Right.
You know, and then you put the screw in, it expands, and it hangs.
I don't want to do that one.
Well, that's first event goes to Matt Money Smith. Sad to think that this will be his farewell.
Point for Smith.
Well, enjoy. You'll win the 2018 one. Right. 2019, you ain't getting that thing in there without your fingers. All right. We'll talk to you later on.
What a splendid affair this was.
It was a delightful time to Tecumseh, Sherman, and the rest of everybody else we shouted out to here. We will be back with more gooey and applesauce later on. In the meantime, thanks so much, everyone. You've been a thin slice of heaven.